From olderandwiser.com, it's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. I'm Bob Bates.
And I'm Susan Sikora. This week, Bill Cosby finally addresses those rape allegations. Or does he?
Maria Shriver gathers some celebrity friends to help us tackle a very difficult topic.
And hey, if you had given birth to 12 sons, would you try for one more? One woman made it a baker's dozen.
Plus, Bo Derek getting old. That and more coming up on Baby Boomer News of the Week. Valerie Harper talked to the New York Post this week to page 6. She was quoted as saying, "I'm ready to go." She was, as you know, diagnosed with terminal brain cancer in 2012. Doctors told her she just had a few months to live. And yet here it is 2015, and she's still going strong. According to her, her tests are looking pretty good even now. And it's just amazing that you can be diagnosed with a terminal illness and 2 years later still be doing pretty good. Were you surprised that she has done so well so long, Susan?
You know, I am and I'm not. I met her and I had the opportunity to interview her years back in San Francisco here. And she's a very positive person. She's very upbeat. That could be an act. You know, you try to put your best face forward. But it sounded when she was first diagnosed and came out with it that things were kind of imminent and going to be serious and end soon for her. But I'm glad to hear she's around. And I think her perspective on things has really maybe made that possible.
Well, one of the things she told page 6 this week was that, and the headline that they used was, "I'm ready to go," which sort of made me think she's ready to die, which is what she meant. But she said it's deciding that you're ready to go has changed whatever life she has left for the better.
Yeah. Well, she's probably also meaning that in a double way when you think about it. Okay. I'm ready to go. You know, I have an aunt who's 91 and she always says, and she's got health issues and she goes, "My shoes are by the door." So she's ready to go at any time. If somebody asks her, it's not like, "I don't feel well." And I think Valerie Harper takes that attitude. You know, if there's something she can do and she wants to do it, she feels up to it, she'll go do it.
As someone who has had a cancer diagnosis, I'd like to know from you, if once you get a diagnosis like this, do you start reexamining your life and what you plan to do in the years that you have left?
Well, it sure is a ton of bricks to hit you that you didn't expect. No. And of course, all cancers are different. So, you know, there's some that are very treatable and there's others that are more severe. I was diagnosed with breast cancer and was told it was very treatable right away. So I never really thought I was going to die. But yeah, it changes how you now value the time you have left, whatever that is. And I think the only thing it's changed for me is that I'm a little less guilty. If somebody says, "Do you want to do this or you should do that?" And I want to do a third thing. I may go do that third thing and just graciously say no and not bother to educate the public and explain why.
You it's have learned the skill of saying no, haven't you?
Yeah. And I think that's important for anybody as you age.
Yeah. A lesson you don't want to wait for a cancer diagnosis to learn. Yeah. Also in this story, interesting side note, there's a playwright by the name of Matthew Lombardo who wrote a play in which Valerie Harper was the star in 2012. He is now suing her for $2 million, suggesting that she hid her cancer from them. Therefore, it cost them a lot of money to replace her. It cost money as she was feeling ill and couldn't perform.
You know, production costs are not cheap, for sure.
Yeah.
And other people also have jobs involved here. So, yes, you know, I don't know her. She's not my next door neighbor, but I had a sense that she wouldn't do that. I don't think she would. Cut her a break already. I mean, is everything coming down to money?
She has asked the judge to dismiss the case, claiming that he knew when she knew.
I mean, I don't think we have any way of knowing exactly. You know, my sense would be that she did not do this intentionally. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't jive.
Doesn't jive. From entertainmentweekly.com this week, Bill Cosby addresses rape allegations in new interview. That is the headline. Apparently, he was speaking to a reporter from Good Morning America on Friday, and it says here that he addressed the multiple rape allegations against him. I'm not sure that's exactly what he did in this piece. Here's the quote. He said, "I have been in this business for 52 years, and I have never seen anything like this. Reality is the situation, and I can't speak." Is that addressing the rape allegations?
Well, I watched the piece that they had up there on YouTube, and he said something about, you know, if I tell you the car's going to go into the water, do you want to know what I'm saying, or do you want to know who's telling it to you? I think that's some kind of a paraphrase, and I may be...
Here, I'll read it. He says, okay, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you where the road is out. I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going into the water, and it looks like it might be only 3 inches deep, but you and your car are going down. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
Okay.
What does that mean?
That doesn't answer.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I know the reporter knew that, I'm sure. You know, the thing is, he can't talk about this, probably because it's in litigation. That's number one. We just don't know. We weren't there. I'm not saying these women were lying, but if they were, and they've, you know, damaged his reputation, that's a horrible thing. If he did this and got away with it all these years and nobody said anything, equally bad.
More than 30 women have come forward with claims that Cosby sexually assaulted them. But to date, he has not been charged with a crime. I'm amazed by that, frankly, that there has, with that many women all making the same claim, there's no legal grounds to make a case against him. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, and I'm not sure why that is. There's a lot we will not know, and will not be able to find out, at least for a while, until this thing goes to court, if it does. You know who I feel sorry for in this whole scenario is his wife, Camille.
Yeah.
They went through the loss of their son. Now she has to go through this, and whether or not, again, as I said, whether he did it or not, if he did it, it's a hard thing for her to go through for sure, to find this out now, unless she knew, and I doubt she did. And if he didn't do it, and he's being dragged through the mud for no reason, equally difficult for both of them.
Where do you think this is all going to end up? He is 77 years old. He could die before anything is resolved.
Yeah.
Taking whatever he knows to his grave.
I really don't know where it's going. You know, one or two of these women might have a legitimate case. And if anyone does in this group, no matter how many they are, then they should be compensated somehow. There should be some justice exacted.
The sheer numbers make it hard to not accept the fact that these women, at least some of them, are telling the truth. I think there's no way to get around that.
I think as a woman, I wouldn't want to get involved in something like this if it were untrue.
They are coming up against an American treasure.
I don't know. It's sad.
It is sad. There's no getting around it. Whatever perspective you look at this story, it's just sad.
And we don't, as I say, we don't have the facts. You know who knows what really happened? Bill Cosby and these women.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to Maria Shriver. Maria Shriver has a new initiative, and she's talking with celebrities about ways to discuss long-term health care. There's nothing sexy about long-term health care, is there? I mean, there's
not
no way to make that sexy.
Nobody likes to talk about it. Nobody likes to bring it up with their parents as they're aging, and nobody likes to think about it because at some point, you know, if you don't die, you're going to end up in the same situation.
Maria Shriver, she has a new public service announcement out to kind of make this a little more palatable for us all to kind of think about more seriously, and has elicited the help of celebrities like Maggie Gyllenhaal, Angela Bassett, Rob Lowe, and Zachary Quinto. Here's a short clip from the public service announcement. Listen.
I know that most of us, 70% of us, will eventually need help with everyday tasks like getting dressed in the morning.
Neither Medicare nor the Affordable Care Act cover long-term care.
And neither do the vast majority of other health insurance policies.
So many men and women who are in their 30s or 40s are ending up being not only parents and providers, but also caregivers to aging parents. And we haven't had the caregiving conversation as a nation that I think we so desperately need.
We can't predict when or how we'll age.
But when it comes to long-term care, we can at least prepare for it.
All of us benefit from planning ahead.
So let's talk to the people we love.
Don't wait.
Do the right thing. Have the conversation.
The video is called Let's Talk Now. You can find it on YouTube. I think it's a great idea to get this conversation started. We're all going to have long-term health care at some point in our lives, and it's boy, it's just something we don't want to think about till it's almost too late.
And I also think Angela Bassett's line was the one that really hits, which is neither Medicare nor the Affordable Care Act cover long-term care. And then somebody else followed up, I forget who it was, said, you know, nor does insurance. That's the problem also. It's the affordability of this as well.
This is the time to start thinking about your long-term health care. There's nothing sexy or fun about when you've got a young family and you're building your house, and you certainly don't want to imagine yourself in your 70s and 80s needing care. You don't even want to worry about it. But the time we have to worry about it.
I think the boomers are the ones who are doing a lot of heavy lifting right now. There's a lot of people in their 50s and 60s whose parents are in their 80s and 90s, and that's when they really can't do something, even if they're healthy. Some of the tolls of aging and also the costs of these things.
Her point, I think, is that it's time to have the talk. Mm-hmm. The talk with your aging parent. Make a plan. Discuss what the options are while you still can. Mm-hmm. In this article, they listed a few simple ways to get that conversation started. You might bring up a website that you saw, or a newspaper article. If it's difficult to have the conversation face to face, maybe write a letter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, or the problem is if you wait, eventually something happens. With my own situation, we brought my mother out to California. And in order to do that, we had to sell her house in order to pay for the care she needed. And it was hard, but she broke an ankle. She fell a couple of times at home. And therefore, that's when we said, we better do something.
What was the talk like? Did you have the conversation, and was she amenable to the things that you suggested?
You know, we talked about it a couple of times where I would say, why don't you move to California? I wanted her closer to me. We are close. Yeah. And, you know, we still are. But I don't know. Was there a moment? I think it was when she broke her ankle. She looked at me and she said, I think I need help.
She
realized at that point, and it becomes difficult dramatically, very quickly and overnight. And I've heard more stories from friends who say, oh, the people next door, they're both their parents all of a sudden need help. Because if you've got two parents alive and they're in their 80s or 90s, you can't imagine that your 89-year-old mother is going to be able to physically take care of your 91-year-old father if he's ailing all of a sudden. It's a lot of work.
Exactly. Well, you know, age is all relative. And there's a new interview out with Bo Derek, who is 58. Poor thing. 58. Mm-hmm. Must be hard.
Right.
But the headline here from Celebrity News, Bo Derek says that she exploited her beauty. 70s sex symbol now struggles with aging. I guess, you know, I mean, there are some photos that they have posted here, and she definitely has a few wrinkles, but she's still a very lovely woman.
Yeah.
Do you feel sorry for Bo Derek?
You know, I don't feel sorry for Bo Derek. I think, I mean, if you're born and you're that gorgeous, you know, genetically you're gifted, okay?
Yeah.
There's just no getting around it. You've got the biological luck of the draw, and not everybody is going to arrive into the world with perfect cheekbones and all of that. She made some money. She's probably okay. If she needs long-term care in the next, let's say, 30 years, she'll probably be able to afford it, okay?
Yeah,
And a lot of us won't.
Well,
so that helped. Now, can she make a comeback on the big screen? I don't know. She might have to play, like you say, the mother, the grandmother at this point, because
she hasn't done a lot of acting in recent years, I don't think. I'm not sure the acting career is a real issue for her.
I'm not sure. You know, I don't think of Meryl Streep and Bo Derek in the same category.
You don't? She was quoted here as saying, it's tough. Speaking of aging, Betty Davis was right. It's not for sissies. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she also talked about plastic surgery,
which she hasn't done.
And she said, oh, my God, you know, she says people say, oh, my God, why doesn't she do something? So you're torn. Or they'll say, you know, she's got plastic surgery, so she's fine.
She hasn't done it.
No. I'm just saying.
Isn't it interesting?
She hasn't done it. And people then will also, probably just as many people going, you know, she ought to do something.
I know, but when you're Bo Derek I mean, I would think that she'd try to hang on, especially when you're struggling so much with the effects of aging. The first thing you would do is go get some plastic surgery. And
there's
she hasn't. I think that's what's amazing.
There's not a facelift in the world that's going to cast her as like Maria von Trapp in The Sound of Music.
What?
I mean, it's going to work. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not sure I do know what you're saying. What do you mean?
She's not going to play at 58, even if she has the surgery. She's not going. You know, you put your hand up to your chin. That's all over.
Well, let's just say her career is not over because she is making a comeback on the big screen in an upcoming.
You know what it is? What is she doing?
Are you ready for this?
What?
It's Sharknado 3. Now,
it's what?
Sharknado. Don't tell me you haven't heard of Sharknado. This was a phenomenon. Sharknado was the story of a big tornado that comes up in New York, and it swishes up all the sharks out of the ocean, and it pummels New Yorkers with them.
Yeah, my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's like a horror film. It's like a horror film. Very popular. You need to get out there once in a while and
No. Even on senior discount day, I'm not paying for that ticket. Seriously. If she makes a comeback, I'm not going to see that one.
She is playing the mother of Tara Reid. So she is embracing her 58 years as a mother in this.
Yeah, well, even if she plays the great grandmother at some point, she's still going to be gorgeous. So.
She will. Also this week, an interesting headline from CTV. You know, that's the Canadian broadcasting company. Mm-hmm. Elder orphans, childless, unmarried baby boomers warned to prepare for the future. This is an interesting, I never heard the term elder orphans, but it's elder true orphans. That, you know, or an orphan is just someone with no one to care for them.
And whether you have children or not is no guarantee, because there are children who, you know, we're dispersed all over the place. Yep. Remember the old days when you had
everyone lived in one little town?
Yeah, absolutely. When I, you know, in New Jersey, I remember I had an uncle one place, and across the street was my aunt, you know, and we were in the same town. I mean, if somebody had to get to someone in the family, you could call, and within 10 minutes, somebody could be there.
That could really,
sooner.
That phenomenon
that
could be
anymore.
The real cause of our problem is that we
that
spread
is.
Out across America and we don't have relatives and people who feel responsible for us.
There's no guarantee that just because you have children, they are going to be able or willing
to
take care of you. I mean, this is a problem we have to figure out in this country, and we have to do it yesterday.
There was an interesting case a week or so ago in North Carolina. 81-year-old Clarence Black has a very serious kind of cancer and was in the hospital for a few months, I believe. They let him go home. He returned home to a completely empty house, an empty refrigerator. And he had no relatives, no one to call to see if they could help. And he ended up having to call 911. Here's the 911 call.
But what I need is someone to get to the grocery store and bring me some food because I need to eat something. Whatever you can do to help, I'll be sick. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere.
Okay.
I can't get out of my damn chair.
The 911 operator understood completely. As it turns out, she went to the store with some police officers, got some groceries, and went over to his house and got him set up.
You know what surprises me about this story? It surprises me that no one in the medical system, before he was released to go home, said, is there somebody there for you? Do you need help? Is somebody going to be able to get to you or help you with things when you first get home?
It does bring to light the whole issue of older people living alone, having no food, and no one to help them. It's
you know
just
what I think we need?
My greatest fear
that
that could
happen. We need to go back to some new form, somebody who's a really good architect, design a green idea, some kind of plan, a model, where you could almost set up like the old hippie communes kind of thing.
That's what I want. I want to live my final days in a commune. I love mm-hmm. that idea. Okay, well, it's time now for Susan Zecora's favorite story of the week. Here's the headline, Michigan couple with 12 sons already, welcome boy number 13. Oh, my God. This is Jay Schwant is the father, and the woman is Kateri Schwant. Interesting name. They gave birth last week. You know, they had 12 boys, That alone is amazing.
I would have left after probably number four.
Wouldn't you call off the attempt? You know, at some point you got to say, we're not getting a girl. Let's just give up.
Well, not only that, if they really wanted a girl, I mean, don't you think that interesting fact would have earthed its head sometime earlier than after 12 boys? I mean,
well, we don't know. Maybe they just kept trying all those years and keep thinking, okay, it's going to be a girl.
I've said this before. When you're having that many children, I don't know, A, how much time you can give each one, and B, maybe you should go be a teacher because that's a class.
Do you think it would be harder to have 12 boys or 12 girls?
Oh, 12 boys. Are you kidding me? Just cleaning the bathroom alone, please. Don't even make me get graphic.
Yes, but...
How many times a day can you say, put the seat down?
That's horrible. That is just, you've gone to a bad place.
If you're only the only woman in the house, you know, with 12 boys, now number 13, plus their dad.
You'd need your own bathroom.
Yeah,
you'd have to have your own bathroom. Okay. So you feel like they overdid it with the 13th boy.
Well, I guess it's not for me to say, but that's...
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing lunch.
Well, we are out of time for another Baby Boomer News of the Week. Susan Sikora, always fun.
It is. We've had a lot of opinions this
week. Learned a lot about each other, as always. Don't forget to check us out on olderandwiser.com for all the news and entertainment for baby boomers and beyond. And we'll see you again next week.